Right now it's time to be joined by our good friend Thorin Christodadottir from Main Street Magazine. You can find Main Street Magazine for a free pickup around here at so many different locations throughout the tri-state region. And as a companion to that, they have their website, which is mainstreetmag.com. And let's bring in Thorin right now. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fine.
Fantastic.
You know, the Chinese rocket came down in the Indian Ocean. nobody was injured. And it's the second time in my life that I had to worry about some big object from the sky coming down. Do you remember Skylab when that came down?
No, I don't.
Skylab was one of the first space stations that was put up there. And it got into a deteriorating orbit. And it was the same thing as this China rocket. Every day, the position where it might come down would change because it was tumbling out of control. So the whole world watched, and Skylab burned up and fell into the ocean. And it was funny because there was a lot going on TV, people talking about this. Finally, one scientist got on and just said the right thing to calm everybody down. The Earth is like 80% water. The chances are that it's going to come down and hit in water. Now, yes, every time that something like this happens, something like it coming down and hitting on land can happen. But believe you me, folks, people forget that the Earth is almost all water.
Right.
There's a lot of places for debris to come down. Well, enough of that. But I was inspired because I saw a volcano story. And I said, well, you know, I don't think we got to the lava cake not last week when we talked on Main Street Magazine. And what makes it interesting is, to me, it's a gluten-free lava cake. Now, have you tasted it? Does it taste like really nice, rich lava cake tastes?
I have not tasted this, but I believe Olivia and Carolyn when they tell me that it's delicious. And Olivia, her nickname's Libby, she makes a lot of things. And if she says it's delicious, I've tried enough of her things to know that I believe her. So she said that this is out of this world. It doesn't, you know, taste like the typical gluten-free, because I'm not a huge fan of that. I've had too many things that taste like chalk if they're gluten-free. But she says you can't even tell, and that this is absolutely delicious.
It's funny you talk about gluten-free. And there was a comedian, I think his name was John Panette. He was a heavy guy. He passed away. One of the funniest men I've ever seen on TV. And he used to do a thing about when he went on a million diets. And he was always upset that there's gluten, and, you know, gluten-free. So he wanted to try to go buy gluten, so when he bought gluten-free products, he could add his own gluten in. But, of course,
goodness,
it doesn't work because you're going to do it in the baking process. But he was a hilarious guy about weight and gluten. So, you know, the first time I was introduced to a great lava cake was at the Interlaken many, many, many years ago. They used to have an unbelievable lava cake. I don't know if they still do or not. But if you're a chocolate lover, it's great. Enough of that about gluten and stuff like that. This is something I own this movie about the high wire artist who strung the wires between the two towers of the World Trade Center, and you've got a story on that, walking the line.
Philippe Petit, indeed, and he lives in our area. He lives out in the Rhinebeck Red Hook area.
And he's divorced now from his wife at the time. I think he's got a new wife. But what an interesting story about the setup and the actual walking, and then after what happened with him and stuff like that.
Listen, I'm afraid of heights, so this thing made me uncomfortable to read through, to put together. But how fascinating is it, and to learn about, you know, how and why he did things, and, you know, even walking across from the Eiffel Tower, and it's just, who has the imagination to even want to do something like that, is my question. But it's just incredible.
Well, just the setup to do it. The setup to actually break security, get into the towers, then shoot the line across, and then when you look at things like that, it truly is an amazing setup, because the chances of it succeeding, whether or not, I'm not talking about somebody falling, but just setting it up to be able to do it, that should have told authorities something about security at the towers. long time ago.
Right.
But it's, and you know what? The article is great because it spurred me on to put the movie on over the course of this weekend again.
Did it? That's great.
And rewatch it because it really is an amazing story. And yes, you have the exciting part of him walking, but that's not the nuts and bolts about his life. His life is a very interesting life, before, during, and after that. So, and I didn't realize he lived in this area. I had no idea.
No, hey, that's the thing about this area. You never know who lives in the hills.
Yeah. Now, this is, I've heard from, this is one of the stories that you have that's a big story and it's going to stay big for a while. And that is the application for a solar farm up in Copake, and the state of New York has made it easy, kind of like in Connecticut. The Connecticut Siting Council takes over control of cell towers, and this company has filed a new way where they can clear a lot of local things just by going and applying to the state because they're a new renewable energy. But the story is called Fighting for Sensible Solutions. And what's great about the story, and you folks, if you don't have the magazine, get it or else go to their website, mainstreetmag.com, because there's right at the top of the picture, you see a picture of, on the left of this area in Copake, with all the different paraphernalia needed. And then you see a picture on the right of what it's replacing. And it really is staggering.
The picture on the right is the whole right side of that road will be solar if this goes through. And quite coincidentally, I used to own a house that is in this picture. So I, you know, it's kind of struck home. And the folks who bought it from me are actually quoted in this article about how they feel about it. And when Griffin Cooper, who wrote the article, when we were discussing this, I said to him, spend a lot of time with this and let's get, you know, all the authorities who are involved in it, all the locals who are involved in it, you know, let's get them to, you know, because based on how we at Main Street usually, you know, present articles is that, you know, we don't put our personal opinion in there, unlike so many media sources today. This is not our opinion. You know, have them speak, I said to Griffin. So he had everyone tell their opinion on it and then give all the facts. And, you know, solar is something that's been around for a while, and it, you know, technology is getting better and better. Yes, it's a renewable energy, and I personally am all for that. However, I was very torn, you know, personally about this, how I feel about it, because the area that this is looking to take over are beautiful farms, and it's, you know, right around Taconic Hills. And I went to Taconic Hills, so it's like, this is kind of my backyard, and I had personal connections to it. And I read the article, I read all sides very openly, and I'm still torn how I feel about it. You know, but you have to look at the bigger picture too, which is the crux of the issue.
Well, the great thing about the article is sometimes, for space limitations, articles are limited. This is a long article, folks. It really
it's
goes.
Four pages.
It goes into it in unbelievable detail, and supplies the pictures that go with it. And what it really shows you is the positives and minuses of trying to go from a fossil based fuel to all these renewable energy sources. There's positives and negatives in everything.
Yes.
But the real negative when you look at this, and there is a negative, and the negative is that it really does, right here, take people that have land that are around, that's going to be around this, and changes why they purchased their house in the first place.
Yes.
It changes it totally. That's a real big crux, because these people were there before. It's not like they've come along after. They were there before. And they purchased their land to be out in a beautiful area like that.
Oh, very much so. And it's, like I said, I think it's called one of the bigger parcels that would be overtaken is a farm. I think it's called Sir William Farm, which is right in Crerville and borders Route 23 and Route 7. And the houses that, you know, look over that farm, it's beautiful rolling pastures with these black cows. And so having solar there, I think the issue is that just the vast amount of land that would be overtaken by it. And I think that's the main issue that folks have with it. You know, if it were a handful of acres here or there, you know, it's not so, you know, it wouldn't be so.
It's not like you're putting solar on your roof.
No, right. And actually en route, because the proposed, either on the second page of the article, you see a map of where the proposed solar panels would be going in. And there are a lot of solar, not a lot, but, you know, a couple of acres of solar panels on 23 currently, kind of right across from the entryway to Taconic Hills. And you see them, and it's not, you know, it's not horrible, but you still notice them. So this would be expanding even further because of the power station there. And, but hey, as the issue is, you know, we're trying to get rid of fossil fuels, and so this is one way to do it. I guess the main issue that the town has is that the percentage of that the state is trying to impose on them of the power, that solar power that they're trying to enforce, that they take over here because of the proximity to the power station.
All right. And one final story we'll talk about this morning. You've got a story on a good friend of mine, Colter Rule, and his lifelong love of motorcycles by C.B. Wismar.
Oh, he's a friend of yours now.
Oh, Colter? Oh, gosh, yeah. Colter, I've known him now probably for 7-8 years. The reason I first got to know him is I did voiceover work in New York City. I haven't done it years now, but and Colter Rule, of course, was, hey, you never know, in New York Lotto. Colter Rule. Hey, you never know. But anyways, that's one of the first ways I met him, and he's an interesting guy.
Yes. So did you learn anything new in the article about him that you didn't know already, or?
No, he basically already was right dead on about him. I mean, he is a man's man and a guy who loves life and is unabashed about it in everything he does.
That's good. Hey, I like those type of people. Yeah. Yes, CB, we needed an extra article, and CB was like, hey, I have this great guy. Local guy, he's an actor, but he's also, you know, loves motorcycles, and so he told me a little bit about it, and I thought it was great. So he got together with Colter and share kind of his, he did this and that and in acting and all this, and but you know, it's mostly about his lifelong love of motorcycles, and so it was fun to get a glimpse of that and how they've impacted his life.
Well, for everything that Colter's done, though, the hey, you never know. It ran for so many years, and he probably made real good bucks off it. He's just a great guy, great sense of humor, and also, like I said, unabashed about life. There are no doors he leaves shut in life. He's a cool guy. So that's a great article. So if people want to see that, well, Thorin, once again, Main Street Magazine, available online at mainstreetmag.org and .com, and also at pickup throughout our tri-state region. We'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds fantastic. Enjoy the sunshine.
You too. Take care. Thorin Christian Dotter this morning here on Robin Hood Radio with Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio.